Good morning again, everybody. I'm excited today. Are you excited? The reason I'm excited is because I can look outside and I can see sunshine. Amen. And thankful to a brother here in the crowd who let me borrow his motorcycle yesterday, and I got to go do motorcycle stuff yesterday for the first time. Real motorcycle stuff, where I actually got to put a few miles in more than just riding around town. So I was excited about that. So that's kind of recharged my batteries. For those of you who struggle with things in life, I strongly recommend mototherapy. Buy a motorcycle. It'll save your life. Look twice. It'll save mine. Amen. We'll let the children be dismissed right now and go with Miss Leslie. I am excited for you guys this morning, those that are graduating, Caleb, Savannah, Michelle, Amy. I'm excited for all those across the country that are graduating this morning. So this morning I have a message. It's kind of a charge to them. As they begin a new season, but also a charge to us. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8, is where we'll be this morning. The title of my message is The End of a Beginning and the Beginning of an End. Everything that I've ever season that I've entered in life was because one season ended and a new began. The season I'm in now is a season that began with the ending of another. And so we're always moving through seasons in life. And as we go through those things, so there's some things that are common to every season, which is kind of where I want to focus this morning for our young folks as they begin their next season, for those of us that are beginning a new season as adults, and for all of us as a church, regardless of our season, some things that I think we can find in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that the Lord God would desire for us as His people to give back to Him. You know, Pastor Wayne, and I appreciate what he shared, you know, with the reckless love that God has for us. And I thank God for that because it's radically changed my life. Amen. Hopefully it's radically changed your life. But part of giving back is not just tithes and offering. That's part of it. I want to love God recklessly as well. Amen. This morning we're going to have a chance to do that as we get to go over to the Veterans Coming Home Center. We get to love on people recklessly. Amen. Yeah, hopefully that works out for us. Miss Faye, kind of, for those who weren't here, gave us a few instructions, and just if I'll be watching because I work with this population quite a bit. So if I see anything kind of going on, if I happen to make my way over, don't be offended. Just kind of fly wingman for you. So I want to pray this morning, and then we're going to look into our text. Father, I come this morning, Lord, I do pray this morning as we read through this text that we would take it to heart, Lord, that Your Spirit would speak to us, not only to those in the congregation, but also to myself, about what You have for Your people in this passage of Scripture and the lessons we can take from it that are life lessons that we can walk with always, that we may walk with You, Father, without fear, O Lord, without problem. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning, Lord. I pray Your Spirit be with us in Jesus' name. So, our text this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 8. As I said, as our graduates this morning begin a journey, a new beginning for them, a season has come to an end, and I celebrate with them as they celebrate a completion, their education, you know, or a portion of their education for some of our younger graduates. A journey for each, I pray, has been filled with wonderful experiences and fond memories. Some of us can look back on our own educational experiences, and we have fond memories of those times. And I pray for them that there have been those fond memories for each of them that they will look back with in fondness. And I pray for those going on in education that you'll continue to form those fond memories because it's a wonderful season in life. I wish I had understood better when I was younger. I couldn't wait to get out of high school. Right on. And I was done after that. And so I waited until I was much older before I decided to go back to school and continue that journey. But for those who do, you know, thankfully for that. As journeys come to an end and seasons close in our life, sometimes it could be a time of mixed emotion. It doesn't matter whether it's education or parenting. Times of mixed emotion, you know, we see our kids grow up and they begin to kind of fly away from the coop, so to speak. And I, you know, I've been through that. I have at least one adult child here. I have a couple of adult children and I have one young one who's running around parenting through the lifespan. I like to think I'm getting better at it, but I think I'm just becoming more tolerant. Are you dead? Is anyone else dead? Please go away. Yeah. You know, however, with my first child, it was, he's dying. Could be a time filled with sadness, yet, you know, hopeful anticipation. You know, you think about high school ends, college ends. In my own experience, I was excited when high school ended, but when I graduated with this last master's degree, it was kind of sad, you know, because it had been a fun time for me. But I was also filled with hopeful anticipation for what lied next. You know, even in the lives of church, have you ever noticed the churches kind of go through seasons? This season ebbs, and this season, and it ends, and a new season begins. And I'm always filled with hopeful anticipation. I'm hopeful and anticipatory of what God is going to do here at the Crossing. You know, Pastor Wayne talked about that, you know, that reckless love that God's breaking through. And I'm excited to see what He's doing here, but not just in this church, but in churches across America. I'm ready for revival. I got a little bit of time, so Jeff gets his wish this morning. He asked me if I was going to preach. I told him, no, I was probably going to more teach, but got some time this morning, so I may preach a little bit. And so my message here in this part I'm going to scratch out says will be brief. I got a little bit of time. It may not be as brief, but I think it speaks well to seasons and things that we should do as we pass through seasons in our lives. So I'm going to read through the text. It's a little bit of a long passage, so I won't ask you to stand. And then I want to draw three things out of this text, this passage of Scripture. So beginning in chapter 8, verse 1, it says, Deuteronomy, it says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, and that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord God thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, and fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains in depths, that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand has gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I will testify against you this day, that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. So just a backdrop here, for those who may not be familiar. The children of Israel have wandered in the desert for 40 years. God has brought them out of the land of bondage at the hand of Moses. And as they've come through the wilderness, of course, they had the experience where they were disobedient to the Lord. And so the Lord swore that those of that generation will not enter the promised land. And so he led them through the wilderness for 40 years. And the children who were not of age now have come of age, and the adults have all died off. And so now they are camped on the plains of Moab on the other side of the River Jordan. They're ready to cross over into the promised land. But before they go, God takes a moment through Moses to remind them of some things. And I take a moment this morning to remind us of some things, things that America may have forgotten as we look across our own land, as we've come into our land of promise. The first thing this morning I want to take from this text, and probably the most important thing, and Scripture is replete with this, is that the Lord God desires His people to walk in His ways. That hasn't changed. Right, for those, and we live under the New Covenant, who might be confused about this, I would refer you to Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul would say, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin walk any more therein? It's an important charge for our graduates. It's an important charge for us as a people. As we come to church, it is important for us to commit ourselves to a life of learning the Scripture, to learning the ways of the Lord our God, and to incorporate those ways into our ways and let His ways become our ways. In this passage, we find the children of Israel at the end of their journey, and God is preparing them. And it's been a long journey. They stand on the brink of the land that God has promised their fathers through Abraham, having wandered some 40 years. Today, our graduates who have completed their education stand on the brink of a new season in life, a season of blessing. You know, the Lord will take that education as they continue to pursue it, and He will begin to open doors of opportunity, allowing them to increase financially through employment and through other opportunities that education provides. Whether it's through trades, I know a lot of electricians that make pretty good money. Or whether it's through nursing, a lot of nurses make pretty good money. Whether it's through the Air Force and physics, not a lot of us in the Air Force make a lot of good money. However, though, it lays a good foundation for what comes after. Or for those of us who may work in the service industry, as Miss Amy will, providing services to people. But it becomes important, though, as we do those things, not to forget to walk in the ways of the Lord. It becomes important not only for us as a people so we can avoid the things, the consequences of sin. How many people, you realize that God doesn't need to judge sin? He already understands the consequence. When we fall into sin, we bring consequences upon ourselves. When we fail to walk in the ways of the Lord, we bring the natural consequences of sin on ourselves, the destruction that sin wrought in your life. Many people walking today in America, Christians and non-Christians alike, are experiencing the consequences of walking in sin. If you lie to people, do they trust you? Everybody said no. It's the craziest thing. Just weird. I don't know. When we lust and covet after other things and things that we don't have, do you think you're going to find peace in your heart? No. Many people with addiction struggle with that very thing. Covetousness, jealousy, all the things that the Lord would command us not to do. Unforgiveness. How many relationships have been destroyed simply because of unforgiveness? And the Bible commands us to forgive as we have been forgiven. In other words, don't let the way you live your life destroy you. And that's what the Lord God is saying this morning. And it's a charge for us in America, a charge for our graduates. Don't let the way you live your life destroy you. The Bible gives us plenty of instruction about how to live life. And it becomes important for us as we're going through and memorizing Scripture and making that part of who we are, that we not only know Scripture so I can repeat Scripture to you, pull the string. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only... No, that I understand God so loved the world this morning that He gave His only begotten Son. And if I should believe in Him, I should not perish but have everlasting life. God not only gave His Son that I could have everlasting life, but the whole world. And now it's my job to carry that message. And I'm excited this morning about the opportunity we have to carry that message to the Veterans Coming Home Center, to share the love of God with people who don't experience a lot of love. And I'm excited about that, not because I know the verse, but I understand the meaning of the verse this morning. How many people do you know that will say one thing on Sunday but do another thing on Monday? You don't need to answer that, but think. Can you think of anybody who says one thing on Sunday and does something else entirely on Monday? But then we'll say to someone that, hey, you know, you should go to church. You know, you should love the Lord and share the gospel. How many people do you know destroy the gospel message that they deliver with their words by the way that they live their life? I hear that a lot. I don't know, for those who witness, maybe you hear this a lot. It's the common thing is, I don't go to church because they're all hypocrites. They say one thing, but they do another. And when the two don't line up, in counseling we call that incongruence. They're not congruent. What you say and what you do. I have this crazy thing I do with people. I do this kind of balance, and it makes people think. But I want to encourage you to think. The second thing from this passage that I want to draw this morning is, beware of the sin of pride. I'll say that again. Beware of the sin of pride. I find nowhere in the Scripture that the Lord God desires His people to be in want or to lack any good thing, but God rather desires to bless and prosper His people. Amen? Amen. God desires to bless us in every area of our lives. And you find that here in this passage of Scripture when it talks about the increase of their flocks and the increase of their herds, the increase of their goods when they come into the good land. The Lord God desires to bless His people. Verse 7 says, "For when the Lord God bringeth thee into the good land, the land of brooks and water and fountain and depths of springs out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness." Does this describe a land that we know? It describes well America today. We throw away enough food to feed the world, probably. Isn't it interesting in America? I know part of what we do at work is we work with Ozarks Food Harvest. And so where we feed people at work, we get food that the stores have to get rid of because the date's expired, but it's not bad. They can't sell it. So then we get that and we feed that to the people that we minister to through our counseling agency. But the Lord God also reminds them that after He has fed thee, verse 16, it says, "And who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which their fathers knew not, that He might humble thee, that He might prove thee, to do good to thee in the latter end. When thou sayest in thy heart, My power and the might of My hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant." See, God blesses His people. He desires us to be blessed. But there's a purpose in that. There's a reason in that, why God desires to bless this church, why God desires to bless you. He wants to establish His covenant in the earth, and He wants to do that through you. The first thing in these few verses here, 7 through 19 of Deuteronomy, never forget it is the Lord who leads you into prosperity. As you grow older, never forget it is the Lord that will lead you into prosperity. It is the Lord that has led me into prosperity. It is the Lord that has led you into prosperity. And there's nothing wrong with us enjoying the fruits of our labors. The Bible doesn't admonish or doesn't speak against that. It doesn't admonish us not to. However, there is a problem that comes with the deceitfulness of riches. America must be great with God because we are the wealthiest nation in the history of the world, right? Right? We are. America has accumulated more wealth than any nation in the history of the earth. We are the wealthiest society ever. So we must be good with God, right? Maybe yes, maybe no. I'm not saying yes, I'm not saying no. But do we have issues? Riches are deceitful and they can lead to pride and they can cause us to forget the Lord our God. And when we do that, we will bring upon ourselves certain destruction. Look at what's happening across America. We have prospered and become wealthy. Do you see destruction beginning to happen? Do you see pockets and places where things are coming unraveled? Can you turn on the news and find news that would say things are not well in America today? the culture is not well, as we go about our own ways and we forget the ways of the Lord and turn more and more aside from what the Bible says man should do and live according to our own desires, our own lusts, our own wants and needs, trusting in the deceitfulness of our riches, everything must be okay. The Bible says the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Will America feel the same when the Lord taketh away? Should the Lord decide to take away? I don't speak for Him. Just like the children of Israel, we must be careful. And I charge you, young people, graduates, and all of us, to be careful. Not to choose to go after the gods of Egypt or the gods of the land of Canaan, which are no gods at all. Think about the gods in America that we pursue today. Gods of pleasure. Gods of self. Gods of false religions. Gods of knowledge. Probably the greatest God we pursue of all is the God of self. How many times I've conversated with people and it starts with, as we work through things and they're having problems, and I'll offer something, you know, some admonition from the Bible or some instruction from the Lord, and they'll say, "Well, I don't feel." I don't feel either, but what does the Bible tell me to do? That's an admonition for us. A charge for our young people and graduates. A charge for all of us. Not to trust the feelings that we have, because feelings are deceitful. Never trust the heart. Above all things, the heart is deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? I, the Lord. I trust what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says, go right, I go right. I may feel like going left. It may feel like the right thing to do, but does the Word say go right? Go right. And that's an important thing for us to do as a people. It's an important thing for our young people to do as they grow up, is to continue to follow His ways. When it says go right, go right. It may not seem like the thing to do. The last thing I want to notice out of this is God's purpose. God's purpose in prospering America, God's purpose in prospering this church, God's purpose in prospering your lives as you grow older. God's purpose is Michelle goes out into the workforce, and God will open doors of opportunity. You know, with a doctorate degree, she's going to be able to make more money than she could before. He's going to open those doors. That same thing's going to happen with you guys. God has blessed me so that He may establish His covenant in the earth, not so that I can just go to the lake, not so that I could just have a good time, so I could buy another motorcycle, although I love motorcycles and I thank God for the one I have. But you know what? If God needs it, I'll sell it. Yeah, I'll get another one. We, as a people in the Crossing, and I think we do a good job, but I still want to say we need to always be mindful. The Bible says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Have you ever contemplated how many people, when you're coming to church and you're driving by and you're seeing cars parked in houses, that if you start knocking on doors, how many people would say that they're a Christian this morning in America? I think roughly 60 to 65% still identify as Christians. About 30 or 35% of Americans would identify as evangelical. I'm trying, forgive me, it's been a while since I've read any of these statistics. Would identify as evangelical, and yet out of the evangelical world, only, I think it's around 30% actually attend church every Sunday. I'm not trying to judge, but it causes me concern. As the people of God. God says, be faithful to me and I will be faithful to you. What if Jesus only showed up 30% of the time? So we gather here 50 Sundays a year, right? 52. Let's say 50. Let's say, all right, so 50. 30% of 50 would be what? Anybody? 15. Right on. Good answer. I knew the answer, but I was going to see if anybody else. So 15 Sundays. So which Sunday should I come to church? Because Jesus is only going to show up 30% of the time. Did He show up today? I don't know. We're not working with good odds here. I think Jesus shows up here every day. Amen. If Jesus said where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst. But imagine if Jesus only showed up here. Imagine if Jesus only showed up 30% of the time in your problems. Sometimes it feels that way, though, amen? We've been through seasons where it's like, Lord, where are you at? The Lord's always there. I'll never leave you or forsake you.
Imagine that, though. Now, these are somber things, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer this morning, but, you know, as a people of God, we've got to take this seriously. We live in a time. The Lord's return may be imminent. Never, never, never in the history of man has Israel been a nation until now, since 70 AD, when Titus and the 10th Legion marched into Jerusalem and destroyed it and razed it to the ground and dispersed and scattered the Jews throughout the world. And God said, I will regather my people in the latter times and bring them into the land. Never, never, never in the history of man, in the book of Daniel it says, man will run to and fro as man traveled like we do today. Just before the return of the Son of Man, he talked about knowledge would increase. If you understand the knowledge curve, it's gone from this for the last 2,000 years until about 1900 to this. And knowledge is doubling, and I preached on this at one time, and increasing in some fields every 18 months, every 12 months, every 2 years, our knowledge increases and doubles in those fields. Never in the history of man have power blocks been aligned like they are with Gog and Magog, Russia, Meshach and Tabul. We see these things in Ezekiel 38 as Arabs are allied with Russia, as you see the kings of the East and China rising to power to match the prominence of the East, or the West, excuse me, in the United States. We live in a time just before the return of Christ. I charge all of us here this morning, whether you're graduating or not this morning, that it's time we return to Deuteronomy chapter 8. That we remember it is the Lord our God who has prospered us as a nation. That we remember that it's the Lord our God who asks us, who pleads with us, who recklessly loves us to walk in His ways, so that we may carry this gospel message effectively to a lost and dying world who may stand today on the brink of the worst, most horrific judgment of God in the history of man. I know it's not things we like to talk about, but I love the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is a revealing of Jesus Christ through the judgment of God on this world. Let us be, as the song said, who leaves behind the 99. But not just in what we go and do, but I left behind the 99 in the way I live. Does that make sense? The 99 are saved. I'm going to live like you guys, but I left the 99 in the way I live because I want to live in such a way that I can go out to the vet center this morning and I'm going to see people that I know. Because they're going to come through my service and where I work at. And when they see me, they're going to see the same person they see at work, a person who loves them unconditionally, who loves them without regard, who speaks the gospel message not only with my words but with my life and how I live my life. Consistency and congruence. Not perfectly. I'm not perfect any more than anybody else, but I strive every day. The prayer of my heart every morning when I get up is, use me, O Lord. Isaiah, you know, in chapter 6, when the Lord God said, whom shall we send? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. That's my prayer today. It's my prayer every day. Here am I, send me. Send me to my family. Send me to my work. Send me to my neighbor. Send me to whatever school you have me in. Send me whatever grocery store you've got me going to, Lord. Whatever vet center. Send me to whomever. I love Robert, who always shares stories about when he's out and the Spirit speaks to him. He's like, well, God just told me to go talk to that person. It's fantastic. Here are we this morning. Send us to the vet center. I'm excited. I'm excited, man. God gets to use us at the vet center. We get to go and we get to serve. Wash the feet of others. And people, you know, and Miss Faith said this morning that people who've been through some things, you know, as you look at those people, it's easy to say, this and all that. I look at people that I work with and I think, Lord God, what would it be like to live between their ears? To have experienced life as they've experienced it. To have gone through the heartache and the heartbreak and the pain that some of these people have experienced in their lives. To reach a point where you just give up. This is it. I'm done. This is all it's ever going to be. So let us draw three things from this passage. Let us be reminded of three important things from Deuteronomy chapter 8. As you go out of here this week,
I pray that the Lord will bring these to your remembrance. First, God desires for you to walk in His way. Not just show up on Sunday. God desires us to walk in His way every day. He desires me to walk in His way as a husband, as a father, as a co-worker, as a neighbor, in everything that I do. Let us be aware of the sin of pride. Pride is actually the original sin. Satan was lifted up in his heart and he said, I will ascend the mountain of God and I will exalt my throne above. It is actually the original sin. And finally, let us remember that all that we have as we come and we bring our tithes and our offerings, we bring our talents, our skills, and our ability, are things that God has blessed us with so that He may establish His covenant. A covenant that's sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ with a broken body on a cross. A covenant of grace and forgiveness and unconditional love that God desires to give to the whole world. And He needs us. He needs hands to serve food. Thank you for those. He needs hands to prepare food. Thank you for those. He needs hands to go and work and earn money to sow into this ministry. And thank you for that, for all that you give and all that you do to support this ministry. Thank you for that. And He needs hearts that are willing to answer His call, whatever it is, whether it's nursing, whether it's worship, whether it's electricity, it's education, it's service. Whatever God is calling us to do in our vocation, not all are called to full-time ministry. He needs hands and feet that are willing to go into the workplace, to enter the marketplace and be an influence in a culture that is very much sliding off the precipices right now and about to just go headlong over the cliff. Let us be that this morning. That's my prayer this morning as we look at this passage. Now, we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. We're going to have a time this morning. I want to ask all of our graduates to come this morning. We're going to do something a little different. We're not doing a traditional invitation, although the altars will be open if you have anything that you'd like to pray about. But this morning, I want to bring each of our graduates up here. And I want to do something that I think is very biblical, is I want to pray over them. I want us as the people of God to pray over them, that as God leads them into this new season, He would bless them. Not just with opportunities and finances, but that God would bless them with the knowledge of what His will is for their life and a heart that's willing to respond to that. So I would like to ask Savannah and Caleb, Dr. Garrison, I like that. That fits you. And Jose to come down here this morning. And after we're done, we'll have a time of invitation. If we have a song maybe to be played, if you'd like to come and pray. And then we'll close and we're going to go to the vet center this morning. But I invite you guys to come down here this morning and join me as we pray over our graduates.